الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
The next article of faith that we want to talk about is the fact that God has given to certain messengers books. Now, when we say book, it doesn't necessarily mean what we call a book today. In Arabic, the word is kitab. A book doesn't necessarily have to be, for example, written down. It could be memorized in the same way that in some way, shape, or form, you may have books on a computer device. They're not actually, well, they appear in the form of text, but in reality, it's stored on in memory. But the main point being is that the book is a message that is clear, that is consistent, and that follows a certain format. So the reason for God sending books is that having a book means that there is a permanent or at least semi-permanent point of reference. There is something that after the prophets have left us, after the prophets have died, the books remain. And those books remain as a point of reference, as a point of guidance that is there either collectively memorized or written down, so that when people claim that we should do this or we should not do this, and that is what God requires of us, we go back to the book and we see, well, what does the book say? In many ways, I suppose it could be compared to a contract or any type of written code of behavior. The basic concept is very similar. It's a point of reference for all of us. Now, the Quran teaches us that there have been many messengers, as we have mentioned previously, and there have also been many books that God has given to the messengers. But the most important things, or the most important books, are the suhufa, or certain pages or certain things that were given to Abraham. There is the Torah that was given to Moses. So Moses was given a book, and that book is referred to and called the Torah. There is the Zabur that was given to David, and there is the Injil that was given to Jesus. There is the Quran that was given to the last and final prophet, the last and final messenger, Muhammad. May God's peace and blessings be upon him. Now, there are two terms in Arabic that refer to the people to whom God has given revelation and tasked them with the responsibility of preaching and passing on the message. So one is Nabi. Nabi, the word in Arabic, Nabi, is more general than the other word, which is Rasul. So Nabi, you could say, means a messenger or a prophet. But the word Rasul implies that this person has been given some type of tangible, physical message, like, for example, the Torah or the Injil or a book. And so this is one of the things that we could use to distinguish between a Nabi and a Rasul. A Rasul is someone who has been given, in a sense, a type of extra responsibility. They have had a book that has been given to them. And often this book formulates new laws, new codes that have either not existed before, or they change certain codes of conduct that have existed before. So this is part of the characteristic of a Rasul. But either, the point being here is that God has given us books, and we have mentioned those books, the Torah and the Zabur and the Injil and the Quran. Now, we do not believe as Muslims, and unfortunately, many Muslims are even a bit confused about this. We do not believe as Muslims in the Bible as such. We don't believe in the Bible. There is nothing in the Quran or in the teachings of the Prophet that mentions or talks about the Bible. Yes, it is recognized that Jews and Christians have with them scripture, and that's why they're called Ahl al-Kitab, which means people of the book. So it is recognized that they have scripture, and this scripture forms a basis or a foundation or a point of reference for them. But we also find in the Quran that the Quran is telling us that people have unfortunately changed and corrupted and distorted the original messages that God gave to those prophets. So the Torah that is mentioned in the Quran does not correspond necessarily to the what is called the Torah today. Moses was given a book called the Torah, but that book suffered deletions, additions, alterations, and changes. The same with the Injil. The Injil could be translated as the Gospel. What is the Gospel of Jesus? What is the original teachings of Jesus? Some things remain in what is called the Gospel according to Matthew, the Gospel according to Luke, the Gospel according to Mark, the Gospel according to John. But we can't say that those Gospels, or what Christians call the Gospel today, is definitively the Injil. And this is very important to realize, because sometimes some Christians or some Jews will say, oh, your Quran tells you to believe in our Bible. And that's just not true, because the Quran doesn't mention the Bible. Actually, what we have to believe in as Muslims is that God gave a book to Moses called the Torah. Does that Torah still exist? Certainly not in its pure, original, pristine form. So it's a belief in something that happened. It's a belief that God chose messengers. He gave those messengers books. And that is something that consistently God has done throughout history. The last book that God has revealed is the Quran. And because the Quran is the last book, the Quran is the last message, and because Muhammad is the last messenger, and he is the last Nabi, and he is the last Rasul. So there is no messenger after him, there is no one bringing a book after him, so there's no Nabi after him, there is no messenger after him, so there is no Rasul after him, meaning there is no one going to bring a new book, nor is there every Nabi, every Rasul is a Nabi. So the Prophet is also a Nabi. He's also a messenger in a general way, but he's specifically been given a book. So no more prophets, no more messengers, no more books. He's the final prophet. So because the Quran is the final book, the final revelation, there is no more written definitive point of reference after the Quran. So the Quran has a unique status in history. That is why God, the Creator, has promised to preserve the Quran, because He is not sending any more books, He is not sending any more messengers. This book is to be preserved, so that ultimately, whatever Muslims say and whatever Muslims do is not ultimately the point of reference in respect to what God wants from us. The point of reference is, what does the Quran tell us? What does the Quran teach us? What do we find being practiced by the Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him? So we can go back to the Quran and we can see, what does the Quran have to say? So whether it's on any issue, whether something is lawful or prohibited, whether something should be done this way or that way, what does God want from us? How does God want us to be? It is part of the great blessings that God has given to humanity that He gave us this Quran as a point of reference, and that He has promised to preserve it from alteration and corruption. That promise does not necessarily extend to the behavior of Muslims or to the Muslim scholars or to the Muslim rulers or to the Muslim people. No, actually, the Prophet said that we will be divided and we will differ just as other people did. But what we do have is this point of reference, the Quran and the authenticated teachings and explanations, which is called the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. May God's peace and blessings be upon him. And that is one of the beautiful, miraculous, and important parts of this religion of Islam.